The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off. Racing.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing. On this edition, you'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:05 p.m. with Stephen Powell, Gary Capewell and Mick Norton in the studio. It's Fakenham, Sandown and Lingfield on Friday afternoon, and Wolverhampton and Dundalk to provide the usual Friday evening of all-weather action. So plenty to look forward to. And joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. Yeah, I'm in excellent form. And each day ticked off the calendar is a day nearer the festival.
It is. It's creeping up on us. It's getting ever closer. But one horse that we may not see at the Cheltenham Festival, one of the more exciting runners as well, ran away with a very impressive performance in the World Hurdle last year, should I say, is more of that. And he's bled at home doing a piece of work, and it's unlikely now, apparently, that he'll go to the festival.
Yeah, breaking blood vessels, not always the end of the world sort of thing, or certainly not the end of the world hurdle more of that case. But it's whether that was the first time he'd bled or if he's been doing it on a regular basis. And I think it's quite interesting that they've come very open about this quite quickly. So there might be a little bit more to it than meets the eye. And obviously, you know, it's a big disappointment because he was such a revelation last year, wasn't he? He set off winning a little hurdle at Wetherby and ended up winning the World Hurdle and winning it in great fashion. He's a young horse. He's got plenty of future in front of him, so I'm sure that they won't be in any big rush for him, because there's plenty for him to offer in the future. So we'll see what happens there, but I mean, it will be a shame if he comes out of it. But again, the build up to this year's festival, last year we had bankers right through, didn't we, sort of thing. This year it's a lot more wide open, because you've got question marks regarding many of the main players, question marks regarding many of the good things that won last year that issues have happened to in the interim. So, you know, I think whereas last year we went to the festival quite confident about one or two, this year, I'd say possibly other than Fagin, you know, it's a bit more wide open, I think.
Yeah, I would agree. It just shows just how hard it is to keep these horses coming back every year and in you know, top nick as well, doesn't it? Highlights it more than ever, really.
Well, it does indeed, yeah. And anybody who's got any dealings with National Hunt horses will know that the heartache it can bring you with the injuries. And, you know, it's happening every day of the week in these yards, as we saw in the paper today, re-levitate, breaking a leg on the gallops, you know. These things happen, I'm afraid. It's part and parcel of it, but it's a numbers game for these big trainers. If you've got 80 horses, to lose 25%, you've got to get 20 injured. So you've still got 60 to throw at the board. If you've only got 20 and you lose 5, there's 25%, but you've only got 15 to go at. Yeah. You know, so it's a big, big percentage if you haven't got lots of numbers to throw at the board. And that's why the big trainers keep coming back for more, because they can keep having the winners through the rest of the horses that manage to get through safe and sound.
Yeah. The good thing about more of that, of course, is he, like you mentioned, he's only a young horse. He's only 7 years old. They can afford to maybe miss it this year and come back stronger next year.
Well, of course they can.
Disappointed on his reappearance as well, so maybe something's not been quite right all the way through.
Possibly, perhaps. Yeah, possibly. And, you know, like I say, there might have been this niggling problem all along this season, sort of thing. And again, as we see later this afternoon, Hollywell, he's had his ups and downs this year, having won a Grade 3 at the festival last year. And, you know, he's trying to get back on a recovery mission this afternoon.
Yep. Obviously, we'll find out what happens to him on Thursday afternoon. Anything else with regards to Cheltenham or anything that's caught your eye? I mean, we'll move on to the Derby in a moment, changing tack to the flat, but anything from the National Hunt sphere that's caught your eye?
Well, I mean, obviously, you'll have talked about it till you're blue in the face, the McCoy announcement here on William Hill Racing Radio. For me, it came as a surprise that he said it when he did. And I thought, well, maybe what should he just put the flag up and said, that's enough, lads, 200 winners. I've got the 20th title just about in the bag. But actually, when I saw the scenes at Leopardstown on Sunday after the Hennessy, I thought, that what a great move by McCoy to say, yeah, I am retiring, but come on, enjoy me before it all goes. Mm. And having been saddened on the Saturday, thinking, oh, gosh, I wish you'd done it today, Tony. The next day, I thought, what a good move again by you, McCoy.
He don't get much wrong, does he? The scenes at Leopardstown were remarkable as
unbelievable.
Well.
Yeah. Unbelievable. But if you understand, we wouldn't have seen those scenes if he hadn't announced that he was going to retire at the end of the season. Yeah. And we wouldn't have seen those scenes if he'd said, thanks very much, 200, goodbye. Mm.
He deserves it as well. He deserves the accolades towards the rest of the, you know,
of course he does.
For people to go around and show him just how much he's meant to the game.
And how much he's appreciated and how much we'll miss him. But by the same token, whoever's advised him to do what he's done,
got it right.
I've actually got it 110% right. Mm. Brilliant.
It is good stuff. The derby then, Pimmy. We just alluded to the fact that we might talk about that. It looks like it's going to be run at 4:30 from now on. And there might be a chance that it gets later again. What do you make of moving it towards an evening slot?
For me, I can't understand it. It very much seems to be moved for the benefit of the betting industry, simply because they feel that, you know, more people have got time to put more money on, more people to get involved. I don't really think what time of day it really matters, whether it's 3 o'clock, 4:30, or 6 o'clock at night. At the end of the day, we're going to have a derby winner. We're going to have a high class race. And so I suppose it's just a case of getting a time that fits for all. I mean, lots would say, what was wrong with 3 o'clock on a Wednesday? Everybody seemed to enjoy it then. But I don't personally think it'll make a great deal of difference. And as far as Channel 4's viewing figures were concerned, well, they were plummeting last year anyway. So, you know, moving the time of it, I don't think it's going to help them.
I think a lot of people would like to see it just go back to Wednesday, wouldn't they? You know, have Derby Day an event on its own.
Yeah,
its own day.
And personally, you know, I would nearly be for that. Mm. You know what I mean? Make it unique again rather than on a Saturday sort of thing. But I suppose the powers that be will say, well, for the betting industry, Saturday works better. And more than likely, for the racecourse itself, Saturday works better.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Because, again, at the end of the day, we've got not to forget we are the leisure industry. We're here to provide entertainment when the most people can go.
Yeah.
You know? But by the same token, having seen Kylie Minogue sell out the racecourses within minutes, you know, this last week, again, that also shows that we need that type of diversity to keep people coming along, because of that 20-odd thousand, lots of them won't have been to a racecourse before.
Hmm. It's a fair point, yeah.
You know, so yeah. I think that's not a bad move either.
Okay. Right, shall we leave it there and move on to Friday's action?
I should think so, because people who are listening now are more likely asleep, poor devils.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we're going to look at the action at Sandown. Pimmy's got. Are you going to do four races for us, Pimmy? Or?
Yeah, I think we'll certainly look through at four races. I mean, it's competitive stuff, if not high class stuff, at Sandown tomorrow afternoon. And we're going to kick off with the 2 o'clock, which is a 3 mile handicap chase. Good prize on offer, just short of $8,000. One or two horses coming into the race on the back of some good runs. Near the bottom of the weights, you've got Arbio, who was a winner last time out at Huntingdon when he made all. Wasn't particularly fluent with his jumping, but he got the job done nicely. So he's coming into this race on the back of a good win. I told you he was a winner last time out as well. He won at Plumpton, but that was over a real marathon trip of 3 mile, 5 furlongs. So whether this 3 miles will be just short enough for him remains to be seen. Roos Blanc's been in cracking form of late, ran well in defeat at Newbury behind Smiles for Miles. Prior to that was a winner. I thought he's run at Newbury was actually very good indeed. And then at the top of the list, you've got Saruk, who took a real nasty fall in that good race at Wincanton, won by Munga Tungati last time. Prior to that, his 2 seconds were good runs, but I'd be just worried that we need a confidence boost in Mission for the top weight there. And the Italian job for Nick Williams and Andrew Thornton, he ran well enough in defeat at Taunton as well last time out. Admittedly, that was a handicap hurdle back over the bigger fences, but again, he could be seen to good effect tomorrow afternoon. So one or two of them in good form, but I'm going to stick with the horse that got beat last time out, but I thought it was a good run at Newbury, and that's Roos Blanc.
Okay, Roos Blanc then for PB in the 2 o'clock. Moving on to the 2.30 next. This is a Mayor's Novices Hurdle, a listed Mayor's Novices Hurdle over 2.5 miles. And we've got 11 of them in the lineup, and quite an open race, people. Plenty of these coming into this in winning form.
Yeah, they are indeed. Yeah, it's a smashing race. Good prize on offer as well. And, yeah, you can certainly make a case for many of them. I think St. Lucy more than likely will start the favourite, the John Joe Neal trained filly. Only got 10 stone 5 on her back, so she gets a £7 pull in the weights from her elders, so that possibly could be a bonus. I thought she ran well enough at Catterick behind Intense Tango, but I wasn't actually thrilled to bits by that run either, if you know what I mean. So I think for her to start favourite, she might be a little bit on the short side for me. I thought Ron's Dream was interesting, the Bowen runner. She was a cracking winner last time out at Newbury. That was over 2.5 miles, 2.5 miles tomorrow, so similar sort of distance. And she beat Gabriella Rose that last time out. No reason why Gabriella Rose should turn that form around again tomorrow afternoon. Briary Bell ran really well the last couple of times in defeat, beaten by Morello Royal at Warwick last time out. And then we've got an interesting runner in the shape of Urana, Willie Mullins. We saw him bring the mares over at the weekend, didn't he, to Warwick, when that filly absolutely dotted up in that mares race at Warwick. And this filly possibly hasn't shown the level of form as some of the opposition tomorrow, but she did win last time out. She's possibly got a progressive profile. And who are we to doubt Mullins and Walsh? So it's going to be the Irish challenger for me, Urana.
Okay, you're on them for Pimmy in the 2.30. The 3 o'clock, or the 3 or 5 rather, is the Royal Artillery Gold Cup. It's for amateur riders that are in the armed forces. It's over the extended 3 miles, and it's always a good spectacle, this Pimmy. What are your thoughts there?
Well, it is indeed. Shortest way up, longest way down, old chap. That's the thing about this race, isn't it? The old Royal Artillery. Cracking race. It's obviously steeped in history. It's not for the faint-hearted. Certainly, I wouldn't be betting my betting boots on tomorrow for this race. I mean, gosh, amateur riders alone, but a lot of these will be certainly very, very inexperienced. I think the Oprasius, the bottom horse, would that be Gunnar Grace Gostolo riding that one? Gunnar?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Mr. Gunnar, yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got, who's that on Coward's Close? LBDR.
Lance Bombardier.
Lance Bombardier, God blimey. Lieutenant Colonel, I got that one all right. And Captain Guy Disney. I think he's had a bit of experience in this type of race. But no, it's a race that is more likely a spectacle rather than a betting medium. You'd imagine that the Nichols run at Coward's Close would be interesting with Jodie Soul aboard that one. And the other one I like, and I think Dominic Sutton's got a bit of experience. He partners Count Salcedar. I thought he could be interesting tomorrow, trained by Tracy Bailey. So the 3.05 at Sandown tomorrow, the Royal Artillery Gold Cup, spectacle rather than too much of a betting medium. But if you force me to have a few, Bob, it would be on Coward's Close.
Okay. The final race we're going to look at is the 4.15 at Sandown. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 2 miles, 10 of them in the lineup for this. And similar story to some of the other handicaps at Sandown on Friday. It's quite an open race.
Very, very competitive race, you know. Plenty of them come into the race with opportunities of winning. Plenty have been in reasonable form of late. No more so than the top weight, Trésor de Bonté. I think that's how we're going to pronounce it. Richard Lee and Dickie Johnson teaming up there, and this horse ran well in defeat at Weatherby last time we saw it, behind Back to Bracker. Prior to that, he'd won, and he's a nice sort of horse. Haven't seen him for 79 days, slight concern, but again, whether they just freshened him up and given him a little bit of a break, but he certainly will come into the race with a big, big chance. Cayman Islands, we haven't seen him for a long time, but he bombed out last time we saw him at Ludlow. But I still feel there might be a little bit more to come in the future, if not tomorrow. And the other horse that's been running really well is Pearl's Legend, who's been second the last couple of times we've seen him. He's only second behind Cody Wyoming last time out at Catterick Bridge. And again, the other one that's been really consistent of late is Noble Friend, right down at the bottom, who ran well in defeat behind Bobbitt's Way at Plumpton last time out. So much of a muchness. Wouldn't have a ultra strong opinion on the race, but if I was again going to try and put my few bob down, I'm going to stick with the top weight, Trésor de Bonté.
Okay, Trezor de Bonte for Pimmy in that one. Good stuff, Pimmy. Let's, as always, have a little bit of a summary if you'll spin us through your selections for Friday one more time.
Yeah, we will indeed, yeah. So we are starting off with that staying chase at Sandown Park, the post time of 2 o'clock, and we're going for Rousse Blanc, the French bred. Then in the second race of the afternoon, it's for the girls only. It's the fillies listed novices hurdle. I'm going to go with the Irish challenger there, trained by William Mullins, ridden by Ruby Walsh, and that's Urana. Then we've got the Royal Military Gold Cup with a post time of 3:05. Going to go with Cowards Close. And in the 4:15, the two-mile handicap chase, going to stick with another French bred, Trezor de Bonte. Ooh la la!
Fantastic. Thank you very much for me. Good luck and enjoy it on Friday.
Bonjour. Au revoir.
Good stuff. There you go. That's the thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Friday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:05 PM. It'll be Stephen Powell, Gary Capewell and Mick Norton in the studio. We have Fakenham, this card at Sandown and Lingfield in the afternoon. And then we finish the day with all weather action at Wolverhampton domestically and Dundalk over in Ireland. So plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.